Never
Odor
again.
Odor of the year.
Never again. Never. Christmas is canceled, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas is fucking canceled. I am canceling Christmas next year. Let it be official. Christmas is canceled. I'm not doing this ever again. Nope. Not me. Not this fucking guy. Not if I don't have to. God, that was a rough holiday, dude. Holy shit, that's so much going on. Fuck, don't want to do that shit again. So we're back though.
Yes,
technically, season 6 of the long wind of this podcast that we've been doing. It's been a long time, man. Holy shit. Fuck.
Yes, it has.
Never considered it till I finished. Holy shit. So that's cool. Totally cool. I think I have something I had to upload still, so I'll get that done later. Not worried about it. Not going to deal with it today. I will also, I can't speak, well, depending on when Pete gets it done, he'll have something up from that me and him did the week that you weren't here. I had Pete work with me that week because I still had some spare time. So I was like, come on, Pete, we could do something. You're not doing nothing. I'm not doing nothing. CD's not here. I got this. So I'll let you all in when that goes up officially. I can't, like, bro, look, I've been like, this has been like my primary thing lately. Uh-huh. I'm like cruising through Digimon Survive, almost done. I think I'm almost.
You finally got the grip?
Oh yeah,
finally got the grip.
The proper fucking grip that I should have had like fucking months ago. And then, what tells me they know they were fucking people over by making us wait so long is, okay, I ordered just the grip. Just the grip. That's all I wanted. That's what I paid for. I checked my order, by the way, but they didn't send me just the grip. They sent me the grip in the case bundle. The grip in the case bundle. And I was very confused because I was like, did I order the case bundle? I get it. And I'm like, well, I got the grip, so I can't be that upset. So I went and checked my order. I'm like, no, I ordered just the grip. They just sent me the case bundle for whatever fucking reason. So, okay. I mean, you want to bribe me, I guess. I'm not immune to bribery. That's not really... Don't usually say I'm immune to being bribed, but fair
enough. Let's just hope no one that ordered the bundle just got a grip.
Ooh, yeah, I don't like that.
Let's hope it was sorry and not just a mistake.
Wouldn't surprise me. Like, wouldn't surprise me if that's what went down. So I'm almost done with Digimon Survive. I still got a few chapters left, but I'm almost done. But for me to get like the really good ending, I have to play the game technically twice. And I don't... I'm going to beat it the first time, then move on to something else, and I'll probably go back and do the second playthrough to get the good ending, because... Boy, this is... Woo, boy, this game. Holy shit. This game gets fucking dark. God. God damn. They've killed off two characters already. I was like, shit, game. One dude got knocked off a fucking water dam. Just dead ass, just knocked off.
For kids.
Yeah, for kids. Knocked off. Just got thrown off. Just dead ass yeeted. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, well,
I guess he's not going to be in the sequel. Shit, that's rough. That's rough, buddy.
He's not in his regular form.
So I've been doing that. Been playing Remake for the channel. Grinding my ass through that. I'm currently not doing a lot of recording for it because I still have a mountain of videos I have to sort through. And... to no one's surprise, I'm actually running into a bit of a space problem right now. Didn't think I was going to hit that, but I guess eventually I was bound to run into this problem. It was going to happen, so.
Especially with higher resolutions. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to happen eventually, so I shouldn't be that surprised. But yeah, man. the fucking Nintendo Switch, dog. And then I also picked up Vampire Survivors and tried that out. And I'm like, oh, now I see why this is the cocaine equivalent of a video game. I get it now. Mm-hmm. Oh, so this is what drugs look like in video game form. Oh, cool. So that's great. That's fantastic. So yeah, man. Lots of
can sink you quite a few hours.
It's good to have an easy time before, you know, the year fully gets rolling with all the new releases that I was planning on playing, and I find I have no spare time to play anything else.
Especially February, I think, is going to have quite a few of them.
It has Rebirth and Persona 3 Reload. Mm-hmm. Those are the two I'm specifically looking forward to.
So, yeah, and Max is dreading that month even more.
I'll let him. I mean, hey, man, nobody, you chose this life, dog. This was...
That life chose him.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I did not realize Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth comes out at the end of this month. Fuck. Did not realize it came out this month. I thought it came out later in the year. Well, shit. That's, I was actually considering doing other playthrough of Like a Dragon for my own personal benefit. But if it's coming out the 26th, that's just not going to happen. That's not... That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, so much for that.
Yeah, so much for that idea. That's a non fucking starter. Goodness. All right. So, CD, you are a much more productive, much more intelligent, mindful individual. So I'm sure you've spent your time away from the show doing much more productive things than me. I assume.
That depends on productive. Obviously, I've been also around family and all, and been away. But I've been playing stuff here and there. Mainly also lately, started a little old short game that you know.
Oh.
Called FF7.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. I do have a... I didn't think I'd ever develop a history with that game. I was like... I sat back. I kind of forgot, like, why do I feel like I have such a connection with this game? I played a bunch
just
when I was
cursory
a kid. And then
touch.
I was like, oh, shit. I did that, like, whole screen... That whole screenshot LP on Twitter... For like months of me destroying the game at all turns, only to lose my save and just give up. So I was like,
whoops.
That's why I have such a deep, resounding history with this fucking video game.
So yeah, at first I tried out how well modding works on the Steam Deck OLED with that game, which turns out it's a bit of work to do, but it does work fine if you have the correct manual to it. It's a bit of a more elaborate process in that, obviously, since that's a Linux-based system and the mod manager is a Windows app, but you can get it to run and run nicely. And yeah, the mods change quite a bit. There's high-res graphics, as in the textures for the models in the cities, in the battles, in pretty much all the models. And there's even voice acting added with one of the mods.
I heard about that.
Yeah. It doesn't sound too bad. It's, relatively decent from little what I've... seen of it or heard of it in that regard. So the mods work quite nicely, but I've decided for the overall run to just stick with the vanilla version and going with the German localization on that one to see how that is. And I've put a few hours into that one, not that many so far, but I am currently at the train graveyard after the whole Don Corleone thing after the sewers there. Yeah. Certainly zipping through it in comparison to remake.
Yeah, Max said it best. Midgar is a tutorial in the original. It's a tutorial.
Yeah.
That's the tutorial of the game, fundamentally.
Certainly the first part, well, the certainly the initial part with the bombing, the first two bombings, that's essentially tutorial. And the other part after that is essentially, I'd say, introduction to the characters and building up that. But yeah, you can definitely notice the differences there. That's interesting. The scene where Cloud falls down to the church, where in the remake they had the scene with himself talking to himself or something like that. I had thought originally that might have been something changed for the remake, but the text is there. So
Nope,
that's
that.
essentially pretty much one to one there, interestingly. But yeah, that's obviously then connected to his regular character arc.
I've gotten pretty far through Remake, and one of the things I found myself asking myself was like, okay, so Seven is a great example of someone being a very, very bad, a very, very,
An
very,
unreliable narrator.
a very unreliable narrator. Not just because Cloud tells them a story later on, but like, if we assume that this entire game is from Cloud's perspective, how reliable are we really able to trust this dude? Like, because at first, when I started playing Remake, I was like, huh. He's having a lot of these fucking freakout moments. These fucking fever dream ass freakout moments. And at first I was like, that must be related to like shit I know from like the prior game and like the actual game. But then I'm like, wait, no. Because I know the context of what should be causing. I know the context around that. And that's not what's causing this. And I'm like, "Oh. Oh
It's an
no, this
added layer, essentially.
I'm like, oh that this isn't that deep. Cloud is a fucked up dude. Cloud is a fucked up dude with like some trauma level PTSD. This dude, one of the earliest freakouts is after the first bombing run in a remake. You've probably seen it.
Yeah, when you're
And
walking through the city.
And part of me was like, man, that's weird that they added that. But then I'm like, I know what Cloud's been through. Like, this is a
That would
PTS thing.
probably be, yeah,
The
that would
flames.
probably track with that.
He saw the flames in the buildings, and that shit triggered the fuck out of him. Which, yeah. I mean, bro, I got veteran friends who fucking freak the fuck out if someone pops a beer tab too fast. Like,
Or a balloon.
yeah, they freak the fuck out. So, like, it is not beyond me to imagine that Cloud sees a house on fire and Homeboy just spirals. So, I was like, God, people are thinking too hard about this. This ain't
That's
Mako
partly, yeah.
cells or Genova cells fucking with them. Cloud is a PTSD victim. This dude needs therapy.
Definitely.
Homeboy needs therapy. He don't need y'all ignoring him. This dude's fucking spiraling. So
There's
yeah.
definitely things added just for remake, but that parts of like that are definitely just embellishing the original.
And also
Like
made
putting more
me,
emphasis on that.
also making me realize something, because part of me was like, if I go with that Cloud is a unreliable narrator assumption, that also kind of makes me wonder about some of the ridiculous feats of strength Cloud pulls off in Remake, because I know, hold on, no, this okay, yo, I'm about to go cap right the fuck now, hold on, Cloud ain't that strong. You know how I know Cloud ain't that strong? Because he was never that strong. But before he got captured by Hojo with his buddy, Cloud was just a dude. He was just a dude with a gun. He was a typical foot soldier. That's all he was. He was never that strong. Homeboy couldn't do... I think that a lot of the shit we see him do is like in his own head. I don't think he's actually that strong. Like, that doesn't even add up. He was
in contact with Mako, right? I mean, the comments with his eyes and all that.
He was in a test tube.
That is
for, like,
correct, right?
He was in a test tube being experimented on for like 4 years. So yeah, he probably was exposed to it. But I mean, I don't know.
I don't know exactly what kinds of effects that would have.
Homeboy got out the test tube and turned into a fucking Captain America. Mm-hmm. Is what you're telling me.
I mean, wouldn't be the weirdest thing.
True. But okay, Final Fantasy
overall
VII.
In the game, I mean, he is the strongest. He is the strongest fighter.
So I'm assuming you also noticed. I don't know how far you played Remake, but I'm assuming you probably noticed one of the big changes that Remake did for the church. Did you ever get to the church in Remake?
Yeah. In the remake so far, I am at the point right before the Don Corleone.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Remake, you fight Reno in the church, and I thought that was a unique.
Mm-hmm. In the original, you just flee and at
yeah,
most,
you just fight, bail.
Fight one or two of the grunts.
Yeah.
Depending on how you let the barrels fall, because I think. I'm not sure if you can do that completely without fighting, probably, depending on which barrel you choose, but when I chose the first barrel, that one almost hit Eris, and then she fought the dude. Obviously, she knocked him out quite quickly, but the other two, I managed to knock them off, so yeah, it's probably possible to manage that one completely without fighting. So it's essentially just leg it.
Yep.
So yeah, and overall, it's, let me think. That's in that, and yeah, it's I think once played a little bit of the game in the past, but this is essentially my first more thorough playthrough. And yeah, you can notice some. Obviously, you notice the age of the game. But overall, it's holding up decently. The biggest things that I would need improvement are things like the navigation, especially in the more cramped areas, because the controls don't really hold up well there.
No.
In my opinion.
The 7 is very much a D-pad game in a lot of ways. You can use... I typically turn
right,
the slap
yeah, because
off
that
between...
was at the time before the thumbsticks were even a part of the pad. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
It's very... Even games, even like time when they let you use the thumbsticks, I usually end up switching D-pad depending on what I'm trying to accomplish. If I have to do like semi-precise movement, you better just use the D-pad because you're not doing that shit otherwise.
Yeah, especially things like the train scene where you have to escape from the ID scanning system and all.
Yeah.
Where you go from cabin to cabin to when the alarm goes off. That one's a bit hairy when you use the thumbstick.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fun. Played some games on and off, like Vampire Survivor. What's the other one? Holocure, which is essentially a Vampire Survivor-like, but with all kinds of VTubers as characters.
Wow.
It's quite fun. Because it essentially takes, I think it's at least 24 of the VTubers, of the popular ones, and puts them in the game with all their with fitting moves and weapons and all. So that's a fun one. Let me think if there was any other significant game I played, because most of that's been last year. Of course, a bit of Forza Horizon as well. I tried a bit of what is it, Potioncraft Alchemist Simulator. It's a nice casual game that's just about potion crafting. You're essentially an alchemist and you do stuff there. It's a nice casual game where the crafting system is, at the beginning, it's decent. You have to find out how to craft potions. Like, you have to take the ingredients, grind them up, put them in a pot, heat them up, and find out which herbs do the correct effects for your customers. It's nicely drawn. It's like old school drawings, like you'd have, what was it? Pentiment from Obsidian. It's similar to that. It's kind of similar to that in the art style. Which, yeah, that's a fun one. It's a small and fun game. And I've been picking up a book that I've had for a while now and continued reading it, the History of Mac Gaming one, where I've read the first few chapters where they talk about the early games on Mac, on the Macintosh. Just the times where they went from text-based adventures to more graphical adventures. It's funny reading the early things, and that some really did originate on the Mac, which is interesting. Just like the graphical adventure in general essentially got invented on that system, which makes sense, kind of, because they had the whole mouse interface and all was essentially first used in a big way there on the Macintosh, and they used that for games like that. Some of them were quite popular. Mm. Yeah. But besides that, yeah, I've been enjoying my free time a bit, and now next week is work starts back up.
Oh. Back to the grind, right? Yeah, we back at it, baby.
Sort of. Yeah.
All right. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen. New year, new me. Time for me to break some old habits. Time for me to break some bad habits and start all new fucked up habits. And boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. Santa may have came late this year, baby, but Santa brought me a gift. All right. So, let's start. Cloud Imperium, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Star Citizen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Off. You knew... I told you mm. from the start, I was doing this, I don't care. All right. So. Mm-hmm. Mm, this is good. So this started with a tweet that CD mm-hmm. showed me in a screenshot of a bundle pack that you could buy for Star Citizen. This pack mm-hmm. of digital goods for Star Citizen was priced at $48,000. No, I'm not lying. I looked.
Yep.
I fact checked that shit because that shit seemed fucking wild. $48,000. Mm-hmm. Now, Star Citizen this is not the first time Star Citizen has made a very high priced bundle of digital goods mm-hmm. for their games. I will say this is the first time they've offered a digital bundle for their games that cost about as much as the average salary here in America. I think that's a little ridiculous, but fine. Okay, fine.
Yeah, because they continuously do these complete bundles. Like, at whatever interval, they say, okay, this is the amount of ships that we have on offer, had on offer in our stores. We put them all in a bundle and make the price the complete package. And this is the latest update to that.
Now, by itself, I would not warrant this being an addition on the show. Like, yeah, Star Citizen doing Star Citizen shit. Big fucking deal. Whatever. I would have... I probably would have memed about it on the show one episode and then moved on. It wouldn't even have been a full topic. But then, I decided I was going to look this up. Because I wanted some context. Because I'm like, $48,000? God damn, nigga. Y'all charge... That's a... Like, that's a... Even, like, even CD was like, bro, that's more in my car. New. Like, what the fuck?
Yep.
So, okay. I did some context. And for once, thank you very much, IGN. You gave me the proper context I needed for this. So, it is $48,000. That much is true.
Yes.
What you didn't know, what I've neglected to mention, is that this bundle was only available for people on the Chairman Club who have spent at least $10,000. So in order to purchase the $48,000 bundle, you have to be on the... It requires spending $10,000 on other in-game items.
I mean, instead of Legatus 2953, they might as well have called this Whale 2953.
Okay. Okay. Now, hold on. I want to address something, because I know it's going to come up. But Rezo, like, people do what they want. People can spend the money that they want to spend. You're right. But I would like to point something out to you motherfuckers real quick, all right? When Diablo Immortal had that fucking the rune system that you had to put like 3 of the fucking things in before it let you put in 10, but you only knew you could put in 10 once you put in the fucking 3, and y'all blew the fuck up about that? That was unacceptable. And you only had to spend $20 to get to that 10. They want you to spend $10,000 so that you can have the ability to spend another $48,000. That's what I'm trying to say. We just got to be
and
consistent.
And this game isn't even out yet.
Jesus Christ. And what kills me is, like, there are arguments about this. There are, like, back and forth. On one hand, you have people like me. People who go, that's a little ridiculous. But then you have people who are like, well, some people really, really believe in Star Citizen. And, you know, they want to invest in the game's future.
I mean, obviously there are. We're at, what is it now? Around 650 million in crowdfunding. Something like that, I think.
Okay, cool. Become an investor, nigga. Don't wait. This is like a more gross version of buying stock in a product. Like, I guess it's more useful, I guess, than buying stock. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not
kind of yes and kind of no. Yeah, I mean, with stock you'd get something that you can sell later on the stock market. But with this one, if the game gets to that point, you can use what you bought in the game. So, it's a give and take.
So, I don't know. Like, I'm going to be real. Like, $48,000 for a bundle of digital goods would almost be a joke. It would almost be, like, a really, really unfunny joke. If it wasn't this fucking video game. Any other game, I would say this is just a meme. But this... We here now, CD. We're here. This is 2024, CD. It has arrived.
Yep.
We are here. We have to deal with this. This is the reality that we live in. We plugged into the Matrix. This was the first fucking thing that we saw. The program is fucked. That's all there is. That's all. All right, I'm done. I don't want to cover this story anymore, so I'm going to go to the other story I was already going to cover. Do I have all the links I need? I don't have the links I need. Fuck! Of course I don't have the links I need. Why would I? Why would I ever be prepared when I cover something? Why? Well, I have a decent... I know a decent enough about the story to kind of cover it myself, so that's not a huge issue. So, about 5 or so days ago, this story was brought to my attention from Modern Vintage Gamer. And there has been news about a new flash cart that was currently being developed.
Yeah.
For the Switch. It's a Switch cart with an SD card slot on it. And I'm not going to get too heavy into the super duper duper technical specifics, because I'll be honest with you, I only tertiarily understand them. And at this point, I don't want to try to, like, go above my pay grade. But I will say this. So one of the things that came up during this was a couple of things. One was that the flash cart was the flash cart used a version or file format that the current dumps of Switch ROMs was not compatible with. That the Switch ROMs was not. So the stuff that's already dumped, it's a different it uses a different file format. But according to Modern Vintage Gamer and the people that he surrounds himself with, and I'm pretty willing to take Modern Vintage at his word, given the work he does in, this space, converting those files over to the other file format would be relatively trivial. So take that as you will. The other thing that came up, and the far more interesting thing, this was being done by Team Executor. Team Executor is a special little name. I don't remember if we've ever covered that particular story.
Don't I think so.
Team Executor was well known for doing other kinds of hacks. They did Switch hacks and a few other things throughout the years. They got busted by Nintendo because they were actually selling these things. They were selling versions of their hacks to people, which is, you know, little illegal, little shady, little gross. And one of the people that was a part of Team Executor, Gary Bowser, ended up getting was part of the lawsuit that Nintendo brought, and they basically nailed the guy with like 14 million. It's like
we might have covered something about him at one point, because he got that name, I think we had.
He got nailed with like $14 million fine or whatever, which basically meant he's going to be paying Nintendo back for like
for the rest of his life, effectively.
The rest of his life.
And that won't be enough for paying it all back, so
I guess
Nintendo's certainly put him into debt jail.
And there's now some reasonable suspicion, I say reasonable, just reasonable, that he might be involved in this project, which would be a pretty unwise move given what already happened to the dude, but you know, do you, homeboy,
if they can get him on that.
Do you?
I mean, he's probably thinking, "F, I'm in debt for all my life anyway, so fuck it."
Right, I'm already.
Can't get much worse.
I'm already an indentured servant. I might as like fuck it. What are they gonna do to me now? Make me what?
Make me pay a few million more.
add more money on top that I have to pay. Fuck it. I'm already never getting out of this hole, so fuck you. So I wanna. I wanna kind of bring this up because it's been bugging me, right? I, as you know, CD, just judging from the shit I have fucking behind me, I like video games. I don't know if that's the first thing. Yeah, what? I know. Now, I care about preservation to a to an extent that I believe that people holding on to stuff, taking care of stuff, and having the games preserved in some measurable format is important, especially in the original format that they existed. This is important to me. I do care about that.
I'd say preservation beyond just the original format is important as well. Right. As in having it in a digital format, for example, so that you can give access to the game, give access to other people ongoing.
Right. So
just not having them lost to essentially
time,
lost to time.
Literally just time. Every any physical thing will eventually stop working. Yeah. Time and entropy will see to that. They may last for a while, but time will destroy everything inevitably. Okay, so here is fundamentally my problem. I've kind of always had this bit of a disconnect with the community on this. Okay, I don't mind the idea of, say, backing up a collection. I don't care about that, right? If your intention is to just back up something for one reason or another, fine. Where I tend to kind of draw my differences here is once you get into the notion of playing things you don't that you didn't back up. And okay, this is a little bit just beyond like piracy is wrong. I'm not saying like I don't fundamentally care if you choose to pirate. Where I tend to get more upset and what tends to drive me madder is the fact that these companies create products that back up the thing, but then also let you put ROMs of things that you did not back up onto it to then play on that same device. And okay, I know what you're thinking. But Rezo, hold on a second. They can't really control what you do with it once you have it. So, you know, fine. But I would like to meet you with a halfway point here. Because I understand the disagreement here. Hear me out. What if we allowed you to back it up, but you just can't actually play it on that device? Tons of devices already do this. There are devices right now that will dump the ROM, but you can't use that device to then still play the thing. There are tons of devices that already do this. I don't care if you want to back your shit up. That's not like, fine, back your shit up. I just find it a bit hollow to me when people go, oh no, our device is for game preservation. That's all. We want you to back up your games. Like, yeah, I believe you. I believe you. Obviously, it doesn't.
Yeah, although considering the availability of emulation and all that, the difference is kind of a technicality.
It is. But at least I would not feel... But see, that's the thing, right? I don't care if you download... I know what the technicality. I get it. Like, I understand, right? And I understand that you also can't, like, advertise it that way. Like, I get that. Like, legally, you just can't.
Yeah.
Just to me, it always... It's like the R4 back on DS.
I'll say it's... This combo is better than just selling a flashcard. Because here, you essentially can say, yeah, here's your option for a backup device. So you can just use the backup and not continue using your cards. Which probably also makes it... I'm guessing that you can just put multiple games onto that card and then just choose which one you play. I'm guessing. So that would
Yeah,
also make it a
there's.
bit more handy to have games with you. But obviously, yes, you can easily use that for piracy and all that. But I'd say this is at least a step up from just selling a flashcard like the R4.
I all
A
right, I
step
you know
up. But
you know you
obviously,
know
it's always a bit, when you
I
have
will
these
I will
things,
meet you
but.
halfway there. I will meet you in the middle on that one. I just to meet
And at this time, it's at least speculatively we're at the near the end of the Switch's lifetime. So it's at least better in that regard because other flashcards have been out, I think, relatively early back then.
Oh yeah, no, the R4 was out
I think the
really
R4 and
early
all
in the
was pretty
DS's
early
life.
in life cycle.
Really early in the DS life cycle. Like super fucking early. So it annoys
Obviously,
me.
one. Obviously, if they use this and then make an earlier model when the Switch 2 or whatever comes around, then that argument is obviously null and void. But depending on when this one comes out, it's obviously.
I mean, like I said, I understand the
Always a bit of a
argument.
gray area.
I get the argument. And, you know, I'm not here to really tell people not to pirate. I don't care what you do with your time. I just personally, I just look at it as, I don't know.
And I
It
mean,
just
obviously, in comparison, what kind of hacks were those that Team Executor made in the past? I'm not sure what those were.
Oh, they. I don't know if they were actually. I think they were just more software hacks that they were like executable. I'd have to double check to be 100% sure, but they sold like special. They sold like pro versions of some of the hack software that they used for like the Switch and other devices that they had developed for.
Yeah, but
So.
obviously it was bad enough that Nintendo decided to go active there and
Yeah,
whole hog.
yeah. Forcing a man, putting a man into indentured servitude, indentured debt for the rest of his life is.
They made mod chips and jailbreaking stuff. Yeah, no wonder. They sold the hacking tools for profit. They went, they go f as far back as the Xbox. Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
PlayStation, Xbox.
So, like I said, I know that my view here is going to just draw people who are just going to say, but Nintendo makes piracy okay because it's Nintendo or because they take away our. I'm not here for that moralistic argument, guys. I'm not here to give an assessment of whether or not piracy is right or wrong. That's not the thing I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to say is if people are going to be like, we care about preservation, if preservation is what's important here.
Yeah, obviously this is more profit oriented
Yeah,
and less
if
preservation
preservation
the main issue.
Right, if preservation is what we care about, if that's the thing that we're trying to look at here, that is a fundamentally very different thing than the notion of the game being available so you can avoid paying for it. But fundamentally, I don't care if you want to pirate. I don't care, but that's a fundamentally different argument for me. I'm not here to assess that argument. I don't care. So before you come at me with that, just understand I don't give two shits if you pirate. I look at this from as a preservation perspective. That's all I genuinely care about. So Gary, I mean, I get you got nothing else to lose, nigga, but this is a risky move for you, homeboy. Good luck. Okay, so CCP, why not?
All right.
CCP time, why not? Fuck it. Story from
Going
PC
to China.
Gamer dropped 4 days ago. The CCP softens its stance on live service games after plummeting stocks. Reportedly removes official responsible for the panic. Okay, so here's what. So you guys remember a while back when we talked about China was putting really stringent limits on gaming and like online gaming and how much you were allowed to spend and like all these different very strict rules around it. Yeah, turns out that really hurts the marketability of a decent sizable chunk of the market in China.
Yeah, and that one was, I think this one was even another later iteration of it, because this one was, I think, just near the end of December. I think we didn't get to report on it. But yeah, they have had that in the past, and this one was an additional one. This one was they had daily login bonus limitations, luck-based draw feature limitations for miners and all that. And
So,
yeah, the response was very quick from the market.
okay, there is something semi-comical, right? Because this is like such a comical thing for me. Because, like, on one hand, it's China, so you know that, like, anything that they do is entirely for, like, selfish reasons. Like within their own government. So the fact that they sat there and said, oh, we're putting these limits on you because the social value that these things offer to the people is minimal and they need to focus on bettering our country and bettering our image, only
And
to
spending more
then,
time in the factories, I suppose.
spending more time in the shop, only to then losing like 80 billion in market value, just losing all the money because turns out when you highly and strictly regulate when people can play, what people can play, how much they can spend on what they're playing,
Especially when it's in the area of your biggest market, the free-to-play market, which is huge over there.
It's huge.
Really freaking huge.
I mean, there's a handful of markets China makes a bunch of money on. Like, if I've done some research on this, the property market, like just owning land, big market in China, fucking huge. That at one point that was like 70% of the market cap for their entire fucking country was like
Yeah, though I think
owning
that one's
land.
been a bit
Yeah.
going down
Oh,
in
yeah,
the
no.
recent
Yeah, no.
times.
They've took a hit there. I'm not gonna go all the way into it, but if you want to look up like what they've gone through, that shit is fucking ridiculous. But the online gaming market has always been a rather lucrative business
Oh
in the
yeah.
China space. They're a lot
Yeah, there's
more.
a good reason why Blizzard and all the other companies want to be a part of that. Like with Diablo Immortal,
The
because
report
that
goes
was
on
a
to
main
state
driving factor there.
the tear shares in Tencent proceeded to climb 5% after a dip of 12. NetEase shares have risen by 10% after a fall of a fourth. Jesus, they lost a fourth of their market value. Fuck.
Yeah. I
That's.
mean, the 80 billion net market value was with Tencent and NetEase. So I don't know which did lose how which lost how much, but going by this, I'd say 60%, 2/3 of that was NetEase. So they've lost a big one. Oof.
It's honestly,
Oh,
I
this is,
don't know. I
the
don't know
exact
how to
numbers
feel. Like
there.
on one hand, a lot of the culture that we're in, the culture we live in, doesn't really look too fondly on these kind of games that do nothing but squeeze money out of you. On the other hand, the country that tends to profit
Yeah,
the
but
most from these games, the profit that tends to come, the country that tends to give these games the most money, might have incidentally just tanked the market within
Yeah,
their
but
own
also games
country.
like League of Legends are a big part of that market. So
Oh yeah.
that's yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously, a free-to-play market, especially with mobile games, is yeah, that's a whole can of worms, just the size of a big building.
That's
But
just, that's
yeah.
insane. 80 billion. Billion, dog, billion. Bro, I don't know if I told you, there was a video I watched a while back that wanted to demonstrate like how much space money takes. I know that sounds fucking weird, but like, yeah, he wanted to show how much space money takes. So I like he was showing like, "Oh, here's this much money. Here's this much money. Here's this much money. Here's this much money." And I'm like, "Ugh."
Yeah. Did he use coins or bills?
Bills, just to put it into like a reasonable, because he had been asked to show it in coins, but he was like, no, I'm not doing that. That's fucking ridiculous. Why? How?
I mean, he could have done a rendering of that, but yeah.
But yeah,
But if
like.
he wants to show it physically, then yeah, bills are definitely the better choice.
Like $1 million is a lot of like,
Oh, yes.
physical space that is for, which is one of the reasons why I don't think most people will see more than a few thousand in physical money very often in their life, like ever.
Especially in one place.
Yeah, in one place, the concept of like 80 billion is like hard for me to conceptualize as even being an amount of money that could just be lost.
Just poof.
I don't know, man. That kind of feels like that scene out of a movie where like someone goes to check their bank account and it says like negative 20 million. And they just kind of sit there looking like fucking dumbstruck. Or even better, you check your bank account and you suddenly have $20 million in it. And it's like,
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
because
what?
some bank fucked up and transferred the money to the wrong account, and that's you, and then you go, oh, fuck.
Do you want to know one of the funniest parts about those kind of stories? Is like 90% of those stories, most people try to do the right thing, right? But here's what happens. They'll call the bank, right? Because,
They'll try, or try at least, because in quite a
they'll
few occasions they're not picking up the phone.
So you get a hold of the bank. The stories I've heard where they got a hold of the bank and they're like, "Hey, something's fucked up. It shows my bank account has like an absurd amount of money in it." And the bank, the lady, the teller looks at it and goes, "Well, no, that's correct." "No, you don't understand. That's not a thing." No, it's yours." "Okay, it must be a mistake." "No, it's not a mistake, ma'am. Ma'am, listen. Listen, I know how much I make."
Yeah, that money got there by accident.
Yeah, it's actually really difficult to convince the bank they made a mistake, believe it or not. That's not really, that's a really tough thing to convince them of.
Yeah, the thing is, it depends if it was a mistake from that the bank made, or if maybe it was a typo person, by whoever made the transaction. So whoever, that's also a possibility. So like, in that regard, then the bank would be correct, as in, we didn't make a mistake. Someone else fucked up. But still, yeah, it's still, if it's that high a number, then even the regular teller that you phone with should have the active brain cells to notice, oh, wait, this...
This
shouldn't be. Maybe I should elevate this to someone to a higher up and at least check.
Yeah, that that number seems a little high. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe look at the transactions in the past of that account. Like if you see, okay, this month 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, 2 million. Something might not be right there.
That doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We're not done talking about money. You thought we were done talking about money. Oh no, my friends. There is more money to be had on this podcast.
At least in virtual, in the virtual sense.
virtual money. So I had to do a quick Google search because I had heard the name of this company before, but I just couldn't think of what they...
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw Mabinogi and fucking MapleStory, and I was like, ah, got it. Okay, yeah, fair. So the Korean Fair Trade Commission is fining Nexon. The people who run MapleStory, Mabinogi, and a bunch of other games, and a few other games of note, $11 billion,
it's around $8 million USD.
One for covertly reducing the probability rates on their loot boxes without announcing them each time it happened. This has been happening since 2010. According to the FTC, some items were even reduced to
zero.
Wait, sorry, my brain just does not want to work right now. So they were just... Yeah, I know. Numbers are hard. So they were lowering the drop rates over time.
At some points. I mean, I'm not sure if it was just over time lowering them, but or just instantly for a certain amount of time.
Some items were even reduced to... Oh, so you just weren't going to get that item.
Yep. Exactly. It wasn't exactly 0%, but it was, according to an article, 0.00001%.
Right, so never.
So
right.
It might as well have been 0%.
Yeah, basically zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
funnier seeing it in that number.
fundamentally zero.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
makes it funnier seeing the number like that.
It's kind of crazy. Like, I've always kind of wondered why people because if you're gonna have drop rates, telling people your drop rates should be a thing. Like, people should at least have an idea of what they're gambling for, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like companies have this really weird notion that if they tell us the drop rate, that that's somehow going to stop people from gambling. Now, I understand that they feel that way. I understand the logic, but y'all niggas thinking too hard. People go to casinos all the goddamn time, and you ain't supposed to win in a casino. So...
Although I don't think the casino cabinets and all have the rates right on them, right?
Do they?
At least I have my doubts. I mean, if you're just pulling on a one-arm bandit or something like that, I'm not sure. Do they have those rates there?
I have not technically been to a casino because I have better ways to spend my money than than that. But
that would be interesting to see. But I kind of have my doubts that they continually announce all the all the possibilities, for example, at the poker table or something.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But
in this case, yeah, it's definitely interesting that they are fighting it like tooth and they were fighting it tooth and nail to not have to set the drop rates public.
Right, because because the assumption is that if people really knew the drop rate, they would not participate. I disagree.
Yeah.
I don't
think some people might, but the majority I don't think would change.
I disagree. You see, to assume, okay, so I'm about to throw shade at like 80% of the fucking population real quick, CD. So my bad if I offend somebody. But you are assuming that the majority of the people participating are reasonable, level-headed individuals who make intelligent decisions.
Or are good at math.
I wasn't going to go there. I'm not good at numbers. We just established that like 3 minutes ago. I wasn't going to throw the stone at the glass house, CD. I live in the glass house. But no, I don't believe that people will make good decisions just because you give them all the details. That's a fallacy. That assumes that people care about things like information or logic. Why would they? We already know that they don't. There's no reason to assume that if you told people the drop rates of the fucking cards in FIFA, if you legitimately told them what the drop rates were for the individual cards in FIFA, there's no reason to believe that you still wouldn't make hand over fist billions of dollars. Because if I've learned anything about Americans, it is that no matter what the odds, every American thinks I could be the next winner. And as long as you have a sizable portion of a population that genuinely believes that, they're all gamblers. They will gamble. They will gamble incessantly because fuck it. I might win.
Someone should calculate the drop rate of a finalized Star Citizen game.
CD, listen. Listen, CD, all right? They're not going to release Star Citizen. But not for the reasons why you think, I think. I have created a more nuanced argument here. They're not going they are not going to release the game. Not because the game doesn't exist. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that there is a game here. I believe that they are actually making a game. I think they will make more money not releasing the game than they will
just
ever
continually
make.
Working on it.
Oh yeah. Oh, bro, they have an infinite money glitch right now when you can release a $48,000 DLC pack with you, like, you don't put that out into the universe unless you have a reasonable expectation that, like, so, like, one guy, all it takes is one dude buying it, and you have justified it. That's it. One dude buys it. Boom. All the bad press is instantly wiped out because, fuck it, we won. No, I genuinely do believe Star Citizen will never come out. Not because it's vaporware, not because it's a hoax, not because it's a scheme, but because I believe they will make more money with it never coming out than it could ever make with a finished game.
I'm sure Chris Roberts will keep thinking up new features, so it'll be delayed once more.
Hey man, feature creep is a thing. Feature creep is a hell of
Yeah.
a.
And Chris Roberts is a lot of things and also the incarnation of feature creep.
I mean, you don't go this long without like he knows, like he do you, like he has to like be
That's the
aware.
thing. He always had producers back in the day that were on his shoulder, essentially, and
Being
he
like,
said
yo, bro, pack
effectively
that shit up.
forced him, this is this far and no further. Finish this and ship it.
Oh,
This is
yeah.
effectively the first time where he didn't have that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He does not have someone beating him
There's
upside the
no one
back.
holding the reins on
Beating him
him.
up. Beating him upside the head with a fucking sock, beating him upside the head with a fucking flip flop, being like, bro, focus, focus. Oh man, now you
Yeah, the
mention
feature
it.
list is getting longer and longer and longer.
I just, you see though, what like when people talk about the fact that like the video game industry brings in more money than like the entertainment industry. And like
Which,
the
yeah, that number is a bit contested, I'd say.
oh,
But
you don't
yeah,
buy into
there.
that? You don't buy into that like anymore? Or did you believe that at one point and now you just don't believe it?
The thing is, the calculations that have been compared were game industry stuff versus, for example, movie, cinema releases and all. And what people don't often, what's often not accounted in these numbers is the long tail, additional releases, merchandise, and all of that.
Actually, yeah,
So
the movie industry, do they take into account
overall, I
like
wouldn't be sure. I wouldn't be sure if gaming is really that high up, but it's up there, definitely. I'm not disputing that. They're really high up, but I'm not sure they're at the top.
fair. Plus, when we talk about the movie industry, are we just talking like the box office, or are we talking like
It's just box office because we often don't know the numbers for DVD and Blu-ray sales and all that.
oh, I never knew that. Okay, fair enough. We don't have that extra
Because
bit of
box office numbers are the public ones and those are the cinema releases. And also now they're streaming, which makes it even more complicated.
Oh God, yeah. Okay, fair.
That has made that even more complicated over time. But
Infinitely.
even before that, it was just cinema releases that were calculated. I don't think any statistic really included Blu-ray, DVD, and all that.
Huh.
So, yeah.
That's tough. That's tough. I, you know what though? Like, I almost, anecdotally,
Because I
I
mean,
could buy.
think about how many people would have shelves and shelves full of CDs, DVDs, movies, and all that.
Yeah,
That's gotta be a huge amount.
and like, with so many things going digital, especially now, like, I can't speak for everyone, but I can certainly speak for myself. When, like, if I sit here and really think, when was the last time I bought a physical music CD?
Yeah, that's obviously now even a bit different because now you can buy them digitally, song by song, even sometimes.
Yeah,
You
like
don't
the.
necessarily buy them like that, or as is often the case now, it's by subscription.
Yeah, like
So
the.
you pay a subscription per month.
Like, I haven't bought a physical music CD since, like, the mid-aughts. That was Daft Punk's last album, which, by the way, if you've not listened to their very last album before they split, it is a feast for the ears. Very funky. But yeah,
or
that's
in terms
the
of
last...
music, there's also the other factor of concerts, which are a whole lot of other things.
That's a whole
income
different,
wise,
a whole
because
different...
that's also a big one where the where musicians and all get their money from.
Yeah, so
it's
maybe,
a complicated issue.
Maybe at one point, that statement of like video gaming brings in more money than anything in entertainment. Maybe at like one, maybe at one very particular point in time, they might have been able to claim that. But these days,
yeah,
I don't.
Maybe.
I feel like that would be a really murky fucking thing to quote.
I think it's always been a bit murky.
Oh, you don't think there might have been like some very particular point in time where they could have claimed it?
It's really difficult because
360 and Wii at their prime, the peak. Peak like 360 and Wii.
That
very
was still
peak.
The time where physical media were very popular.
Ah, true. I was gonna say like that would be the most like,
so
opportune
by,
moment to claim that.
I would say at this point they're as close as they've ever been.
Oh.
I'd say. Because movie budgets and all have risen and risen and risen, but box office earnings these years aren't always that great.
Yeah, I have.
And the whole pandemic and all, box office earnings went downhill massively.
Yeah.
At first, they've risen back up by a bit, probably, but it's been a big impact. And in comparison, obviously, streaming and all went up, but games also went up. So I'd say at this point the gap is the smallest, would be my guess, without looking into it more detail.
Damn, hadn't considered that.
Mm-hmm.
I was banking that it would have been like the 360 Wii period of time, like at that very peak.
Mm-hmm.
Like that very, very high point when like they were both flying off the shelves and like Xbox Live was all everyone would ever talk about and like the Wii was running like commercials all the goddamn time. Like at that peak, I felt like that might be when they might have been able to claim it, like right then.
Mm. Yeah, but think about the millions you have as players of Xbox and Wii and all. And then think how many people buy movies and all. That
fair,
especially at the time, there's many more millions of those,
yeah,
because that's been far more mainstream.
Not to mention, like, movie releases have just sucked. they've sucked, bro.
These recent years have been pretty bad.
I haven't been to a theater in a really long time, just. There is nothing to go see. There is nothing I'm willing to go and sit down and look at. It's like it's like I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'll wait. Yeah.
Yeah, especially it's not just that the movies are bad. I mean, there have always been bad movies, but the perception is all definitely also there, but other things like the whole movie going experience has become ever more costly.
Yeah, last movie I saw in a theater was Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last. That was like that, and I hadn't been to a movie in a really long time. I really wanted to go see that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the last thing I went to go see. I have not been back into a theater since. Oh man, that's a rough.
Yeah.
That's a rough place, man. That's a rough fucking place. Holy shit, that is fucking dismal. great to know I can end the first show of the new year on such a happy fucking note. Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Death, killing happiness. Killing all the good vibes. All right, Mr. Claw, chill the fuck out. We don't need that kind of evil villain vibes right now. It's not necessary. Well, everybody, welcome back. It's the new year. Hope you all have a fantastic week. We are back, whether you like it or not. I'm ready. We're here now. Mm-hmm. Cloud Imperium, don't disappoint me. I don't want to hear about this game having a fucking release date anytime soon, please.
Games industry, do your thing.
Doing what it does best, being the games industry.
Mm-hmm.
God, this is was not expecting us to have so many things just pop up throughout the week that were mildly mm-hmm. interesting or... You know what? One second.
Yeah, speaking of games, we did end last year on a happy note.
You're right.
Bobby Kotick's last day was on the 29th of December. He's out.
You're right. Actually, there is one thing I'd like to point out before we end. While mm-hmm. you can look up our show on Spotify, YouTube, and other platforms at your convenience.
Apple.
Yeah, Apple. And our video show is located on YouTube, Turn-Based Cynics, every single week. A friend of mine, a mutual friend of ours, retweeted something that we were laughing at immensely, and I'd like to share it with you all right now, because it is horrifying. Let me pull up Discord. We're going to end the show with this CD. We're going to end the show with this fucking image. Because I feel like we have to. I feel like what better way for us to end the first show of the new year on our video show than with an image that will scar the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to why AI was a fucking mistake. Stare at it, motherfuckers. Really take this shit in. Look at that shit. Look at it. Is that Aerith? Is that horror nightmare fucking atrocity, my baby?
Supposed to be.
Oh my God.
As you said, if it was a horror movie, I would say One Winged Angel, run.
But you want to know how I know, like, social media is a scam?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know? I'll tell you how I know. Go to that Game Awards post and then look at the first few responses to it. And tell me how you look at this nightmare-fueled fucking image. And all I see is nice crossover, such a cool crossover, excited to see how this plays out, excited for this crossover. Social media was a goddamn mistake.
I mean, one of the early replies does it best. Meth Addict Aerith, this collab was a mistake.
This was such a mistake.
It's in the early ones, so.
Thank you. At least somebody had the fucking decency of fucking mind to realize this nightmare-induced fucking horror show was a mistake. Thank you. Because I was concerned I was the only one. Because the first few things I saw were all complimenting the crossover. I'm like, did y'all motherfuckers not see this fucking nightmare fuel image? Oh, God.